What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Sounds of the silence that allows for my mind to run around with my ear up to the ground. I'm searching to behold the stories that I told when my back is to the world that was smiling.
Hey, it's the HBO boys. We're here to talk about Arcane. It's the show that everybody likes based on the game that everybody hates. What if Tale of Two Cities was steampunk and magic and had anime girl Joker? That's what this show's about. The way I'm describing it, it sounds bad, but it's really good.
It's a really good show. Wait, people don't like the game?
No.
I thought it was like a huge game.
Yes. Oh, an incredible amount of people play it. All of them, 100% of them, honestly, complain about it while playing it, after playing it, before playing it, yet they still boot it up the next day because they are addicted. Hi, I'm Ryan. That was James and that was Chad. Hey, James, when you do an intro, which, by the way, loved it. Really want you to keep doing it. I'm not putting you down. I want it to keep going.
He's putting you down. He wants you to stop.
It does sound like you are in a dark room with Jigsaw on the TV and somebody pointing a gun at your head being like, do the intro! Do it now!
Well, I improv it off the top of my head, so that's a scary situation. As scary as having a gun put to your head.
You're very talented, and I acknowledge that. It's just also, well, you sound terrified.
But I want to agree with what Ryan just said, that it seems like people who play other MOBAs hate League of Legends, but then also people that play League of Legends like hate it even more. I never hear anyone talk positively about this game.
So, but do they hate it like how people hate on Pokemon, but still love Pokemon? Like the Pokemon formula hasn't changed much ever, and people, like, they're complaining that it's showing its age, but they're still going back because they love the game. They love the world of Pokemon. Is it like that, where, like, people love it, but, like, they complain about the mechanics?
Oh, they have many a complaint. So this is what I'll say. League of Legends is a universe now, right? It is spawning this TV show. Summoner's Rift is but one way to play League of Legends. P.S. If you have never played League of Legends, Summoner's Rift is the, you have three lanes, you get to the other side of the other team's base and you explode it and you win, all that good stuff. But there are other games in the League of Legends hierarchy. I have more hours in Teamfight Tactics than I do League of Legends. I probably have close to 200 hours in Teamfight Tactics, which is a strategy game using the characters from League of Legends. So I knew of Jinx and Vi previous to seeing Arcane, but I really didn't understand any of the lore of the game. And I do want to go back to the idea of hating something, but not really hating, like complaining actively, and saying you hate something.
I mean, I guess we should be experts on this, because that's kind of the whole podcast, is complaining about things that we like.
Right. Yes. I honestly, 100%, like, this is a generation full of that. Complaining about things that you love, and you won't say you love it because loving things isn't cool. But, like, I have a lot of friends who have been playing World of Warcraft for 10 to 15 years, and every time something new happens, they absolutely hate it, but guess who still has a subscription?
I've never played a MOBA. Obviously, that means I've never played League of Legends. I've never played Dota. There's that new Pokemon MOBA. I'm also never interested in
Pokemon
that.
Pokemon Unite! It is not a good game, because 10 minutes in, everything you did doesn't matter anymore. Whoever killed Zapdos wins. It's complete horseshit.
To me, watching footage of these games, and they are the biggest games in the world right now, it looks like it's all the pressure and negativity of playing a game online but with like World of Warcraft style combat, which is just like the most boring combat in any game. So it's boring combat with a toxic online environment.
See, okay. The little that I know about this genre of game, I actually think that it's really tactical.
Oh, it is.
Because it's chess. It's all about like timing and yeah. Like from the outside, it looks boring, but like when you get through the surface of it, it seems like it's actually like so complicated that it's a barrier to entry.
The amount of League of Legends characters is too many. There's a lot of them. And so, yeah, when you start the game, it is an incredibly large mountain to climb. And you have to also learn items, and you have to learn the meta, and you have to, like, on top of, there are buffs on the map, there are dragons. Are you supposed to be hitting that dragon? When are you supposed to be doing that? Wards? What the fuck is a ward?
I kind of feel like it's like Tekken or like Mortal Kombat, where like, yeah, you can boot up the game and button mash, but like, if you play somebody who knows the game, they're like counting frames and they're like, yes. You don't stand a chance.
You're going to get shit stomped. And yeah. I watch a few League of Legends streamers. I enjoy the game very much. I can watch full games, or at least like montages of games where they cut out the boring bits. And when Arcane the Show, which is what this podcast is about, was announced, I know it is tough to understand, but when that was announced, I think the initial reaction was very much like, hey, maybe don't spend time making an Arcane or whatever kind of show you're making and balance the fucking game that we all like to play. But that's the same thing as just like when people are mad at politicians for getting ice cream, be like, how dare you be doing anything recreational and not fixing the country to how I like it? Like, I think that's a bit skewed, but. Okay.
So, as I was watching the show, knowing that it was a game that I knew very little about, I was trying to, like, figure out what was a game thing and what was a show thing.
Yeah, me too, yeah. Yeah. I was trying to parse, like, who's a playable character and who isn't, and I was totally wrong on a lot of them.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of them are playable characters, and the ones that aren't playable characters will most likely be playable characters one day. But I mean, Heimerdinger, playable character, Jace, Vi,
yeah.
Jinx.
Victor, even.
Victor is a wonderfully designed character, and there is a character in here that I'm sure we'll talk about this a little later, the patriarch of Vi and Jinx, who is not a playable character, or is he?
That guy.
So, as I mentioned earlier, the plot is like, it's like a tale of two cities, but in steampunk magic land. And they're also, the two cities are like kind of at war, but not always. And some people live in golden castles, and other people live in shitty slums. And so the two main characters are Violet, who goes by V, and Powder, who ends up being the champion Jinx, and Hailee Steinfeld as Violet. Big year for her.
Huge year for her. Also, Ella Purnell as Jinx, who is a star of Yellow Jackets on Showtime, which is also an amazing show. And her character is very annoying, but she does a very good job making that character be annoying enough where I feel feelings about it.
Who, Jinx?
No, Ella Purnell's character in Yellow Jackets.
Oh, I'm sorry. Really,
who is
like
she in Yellow Jackets?
Yeah. You're not even listening to your own podcast, Chad.
No.
Sorry, who is she? What did you say? Who is she in Yellow Jackets?
She is Jackie. She's the...
the worst character.
The worst one, right.
Okay. She's very good as Jackie.
She's so good. Sad. I'm sad.
At being the worst.
I haven't seen Yellow Jacket yet, but I really liked this. The whole time watching this, I was going back and forth between three things. One was just like enjoying the show because it was a really good show. It's well written, really well animated. I thought the art style was beautiful. Two, as I said previously, trying to gamify the show. And three, I kept thinking, like, what a great setting this would be for a TTRPG.
A TTRPG?
What does that even mean?
A tabletop RPG?
Oh, sure.
Oh!
Yes.
Like
Dungeons & Dragons. Like a D&D kind of game, yeah. And, like, there's just so much to it. Like, different aspects of the same mechanics. Like there's the magic, and then there's like the magic tech, and then there's like just the tech. And then there's just like these like brutal characters, and the whole aesthetic. It's just, they did a really good job world building. And I just thought that was really great.
And the other main characters who live in the rich part of town are Jace the Mind Slayer from Magic the Gathering and the councilwoman Mel, who is like the rich, powerful power broker of the high society.
Yeah, and you don't really get this until later, but she's actually from another like nation. Like I didn't, if that was told to us earlier in the show, I was kind of like surprised to learn that she's from somewhere else.
Yes. So we are being introduced here to two settings within the world of League of Legends, which is the underground, which is the underground of Piltover.
It's literally underground.
But she is the daughter of Ambessa, who is a Noxian warlord. So basically, we're just understanding from the very beginning, we are seeing the story of one time and one place, but this is an entire universe. It is a game with hundreds of characters who all live at the same time in the same universe. And so all of their stories are happening simultaneously, and we are seeing but a small part of it.
So Ryan, are the characters that we're seeing in this show, are they like League of Legends prime characters, or are they just like a random assortment of characters that they chose?
Jace and Jinx are huge characters.
Yes. So this is what I'll say. There are so many characters in League of Legends at this point that people really, if you have a cursory understanding of the game, what you'll only probably know is what's meta, like what you're seeing on Summoner's Rift day in and day out. So Jace is someone, like if I know the character, a person who has played the actual game League of Legends for under 10 hours, but has played a lot of Teamfight Tactics, so I guess I know a bit more than the normal person would. But if I know the character, then it is one that is, I don't know, slightly famous. Like, I know Jace, I know Jinx, I know Vi. I had never heard of Mel before. I know Heimerdinger. He's part of the Yordles. I want to see a Yordle thing very badly. There are more Yordles. They all are tiny little hamster fellas. They're not hamsters, but gosh, I want to see more of
they're
them.
They're hamsters. They're right. Hamster people.
I know Caitlyn, and I know Victor. I know, I'm just going to keep Singed, I knew as well.
So long story short, there are well-known characters in the game.
Ryan knows them.
And Ryan knows them, and they were the ones that they chose to feature. So like they didn't just like pick a random assortment.
Right. And I think the most entertaining version of this podcast is just me listing for the next 45 minutes who I know.
The show is 9 episodes long, and those episodes are broken up into acts. So Act 1 takes place a couple years before the rest of the story. Vi and Powder are sisters in the Undercity, just trying to get along, and they get wrapped up into a big feud between two Undercity crime lords, at the end of which their surrogate father and all their friends are killed by Powder, accidentally trying to help them beat Silco, who's like the bad Undercity crime lord.
That destroyed me.
That was very sad, yeah. Episode 3 is brutal.
It was so heavy. Cause like you see Jinx, she's like, Powder. She's so like happy that she can finally help, and like she has no idea what's happened. And then like you just when she figures it out, when she understands what she did, the subtlety that that this show gives to the animation, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the animation, because I know, but I stopped you because now my point is important. So
okay.
I'm kidding, but what I actually feel like, if I wasn't listening to the show at all, if it was on mute and then I paused it at any given point, it could absolutely just be like a screen,
a desktop wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the little subtleties, because all the characters are very complex. The show did a really good job, like really rounding out characters. And what you get from that is a lot of subtle, like small moments, small motions that they give that like convey a depth. And like you, it really humanizes the characters. And it's something that's really, really hard to get in animation, especially for a series when they usually, you know, their budgets are usually a lot smaller and they have to, if they're going to cut costs, they're going to cut cost on animation. It was a beautiful, well-rendered, very thoughtful execution. And it happened to be very beautiful at the same time.
They also did a very good job.
So I loved it.
Of putting in enough for people who play the games for them to be like, have some moments like, that's a voice line from the game.
Yeah, there were
like, there were obvious like moments where it was fan service. But again, like, you guys are League of Legends Na'Vi, and you didn't need that shit. Like, it maybe once or twice you have a glean in your eye of like, that seemed like they were looking through the TV a little bit, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't pulled out enough for me to not enjoy even the moment where it happened.
There was one moment that was really overt, and I can't recall it right now, but one guy just said, like, power it up or something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a line from the game.
Right.
It was very, very clearly fan service, and I caught it.
There is a MacGuffin, as I think every IP at this point is desperate to have a plot point that is outside of the characters that everybody is fighting over. You know, it's the Infinity Stones in the MCU. And in Arcane, they are fighting over a new technology that Jace and his partner, Victor, have crafted. And it is basically just a fight of old versus new. Hey, don't do that. You basically are building the next metaphorical or literal nuclear bomb.
Right. They literally challenge the idea of progress.
Yeah. And as Heimerdinger says, like, what you're doing is going to get a lot of people killed. And then the opposite side of that coin is like, listen, man, if it's not us doing it, someone else is going to. And also, shouldn't we always just try to do anything that we possibly can do? Like, should there not be a line in the sand for progress? Which I absolutely adored that storyline, because I was like, hey, that's like real life.
Yeah. And first of all, Heimerdinger, hate him. He's just a wet blanket. Every scene, he's like, I don't know.
I will tell you.
That sounds dangerous.
He is not like that in... So, this style, the animation style, is directly pulled from the animatics that they use or have been making for years for League of Legends. It's like they already had built the engine to make the show. They just added more money and more animators and writers and directors on top of it, because they had already sort of built the infrastructure to do this exact animation. They've been doing it for years. Watch any of the animatics from the last 3 years. They're this beautiful, just with worse writing. And I will say, and that's just because the writing of the show was wonderful, but Heimerdinger was like not a wet blanket in any of those. He, in fact, okay, is like on the side of technology and on the side of progress. But obviously we got here and they were like, well, we need someone to be like, don't though.
Well, he was specifically against the use of magic in the technology. That's what he was concerned about.
And I think Hex Tech's a really cool concept for a fantasy setting. Like, anybody can use magic now, as long as you're rich enough to buy magic device.
It kind of reminded me of caster bullets from Outlaw Star.
Mm.
Well, I just kind of like that, yeah.
Oh, you know what that means? I did not know what that means. Mm-hmm. But also, I like the... So Hex Tech and all of these things, they're the items from the game. Like,
Right.
There's an item in the game called the Hextech Gunblade that I build sometimes and put on my characters in Teamfight Tactics.
So Heimdinger, you're right. A lot of his scenes, he was saying like, oh no, we need to stop. But I think that played well for the character, not just because it introduced a conflict, but because you understood where he was coming from and you got to see kind of like what it's like to see the world from the perspective of someone who can age for hundreds of years.
Right.
Like he said, yeah, this is great. Let's wait a few decades and sort this out. Cause that's how he thinks.
Yeah.
He thinks in terms of decades cause he has the time.
His timeline is incredibly elastic. Cause again, like you just said, he's going to be around forever, but also you get the vibe that he's just like lived through multiple genocides and is kind of over it.
Right. So I, you're right. He was a wet blanket, but I think that actually was a credit to him. I think that where they left the character at the end of the show.
Oh, at the end of the show, he's absolutely vindicated.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a bigger arc in the second season, which they most assuredly are going to have. In fact, I think they already announced it.
Oh yeah,
they did announce it.
It broke every Netflix record in its first week, and also everybody, including the critics, loved it. They are going to shove a season 2 so far up our ass, we can taste it, and I can't wait.
We're going to get 15 episodes, and it's going to be 6 episodes too long.
How dare you?
Well, it's going to. That's what they do.
So Act 1 ends with their story, with them, Victor and Jace, figuring out how Hextech works, and obviously it's going to change things. And then we do a time skip into the future, and now Hextech has taken over the city. It's now like the most powerful city in the region because they have magic portals that you can jump to and all this other magic shit. And there's a lot of pressure on Jace and Victor to weaponize Hextech, which is Heimerdinger's big nightmare, and they don't want to do it.
No, man, we're not going to weaponize it. We're just going to make a bunch of lasers and super powerful fisty punches. Right.
Yeah, this is just a cannon which you will use to fire at a tree you want to knock down, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, you know, Jace makes his hammer. That's the hammer he uses in the game. And then he brings out the glove, and I immediately recognized it as the glove that Vi has in the game. So I was like, oh, she gonna get that. I don't know how she gonna get that, but she gonna get that at some point.
I think that's when he said, like, hammer time or something. He said something weird when he got the hammer out. That's what I was referring to earlier.
I think he said, I am the artist formerly known as Prince, which felt really out of character.
What?
Meanwhile, in the Undercity, the bad crime lord Silco is using his technology to gain more and more power as his lieutenants, including a now grown up and even crazier powder going by Jinx, are raiding the upper city and stealing more Hextech as time goes on. And so Jace's friend Caitlin, who's a champion from the games, and I gotta say, I looked what she's like in the games, and in the show, she's like a very self-serious, very like morally straight cop, basically. And in the games, she's like a Cockney waif. Like, she's totally different.
Still a cop, but she's, I think, 10 years older in the games. I believe that's when the Summoner's Rift is kind of like 10 years ahead of where Arcane is now. But yes, they did took some liberties with her character to make her more exactly what they wanted. Silco is not in the game, which is a real bummer, because his character is so... Yep, Silco, original character, not in the game. Caitlin, in the game, she is used as a sniper, and she sucks.
You know, it's funny, because I was going to say, spoiler alert, Silco dies at the end of the season, and I was going to say, there's no consequences for the main characters, except for Silco, who died at the end.
Well, there's some consequences for the upper city characters.
Oh, there's one large.
Well, we don't know.
Pretty immediate ones.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't know if anyone dies.
Coming through the fucking window. By the way, I need to caveat this. Caitlyn is bad in TFT. I don't know if she's bad in Lord of League of Legends. I don't need fucking people being
Lord
all like, how
of
dare
Legends.
You? Lord of League of Legends.
Lord of Legions. So we're introduced to three different kinds of technology. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but there's Jinx's tech, which is just like very mechanical. There's Hextech, which is like magic technology. Yeah, steampunk. And then there's Silco's tech, which is like bioengineering.
Evil drugs.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of interesting to see those different forces kind of meet.
Are the evil drugs in the game, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Evil drugs in the game, for sure. Dr. Mundo. Oh, my God. You guys, we haven't even met Dr. Mundo yet. Bunch of people taking a bunch of weird bio drugs and becoming very weird.
Wait, that guy wasn't Dr. Mundo that Victor was friends with?
No.
Okay.
No, Dr. Mundo isn't around yet. I hope he is around sometime soon. But also, Jinx, Harley Quinn, right? Just Harley Quinn?
Harley Quinn, or like a girl Joker, basically. And so as Act 2 goes on, Caitlin is kind of getting on Jinx's tail. She doesn't know who Jinx is yet, but she thinks she knows who's behind all these terrorist attacks and hex tech thefts. And so she goes into jail and breaks V out, who's now grown up and is a strong fighter. I don't know, she like Jean Valjean, she got super jacked in jail. And now they're on the chase for Silco and Jinx. And one thing, which a bit annoyed me, and I guess it annoyed the fandom too, is that like throughout the show, they kept teasing that they were shipping Vi and Caitlin, but then never quite pulling the trigger on that.
I did not pick up on that at all.
Oh, really? I totally picked up on it. How did you not pick up on that?
Maybe I'm just blind and deaf. I don't know.
Jeez. When Ryan was in college and a girl was flirting with him, he's like, wow, what a nice girl. She must be really friendly.
I could always use some more friends.
I just want to point out real quick that we've successfully referenced Outlaw Star and the Count of Monte Cristo in this podcast.
No, Jean Valjean is from Les Misérables.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I need more books.
You're right. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Count of Monte Cristo. Obviously. Where he was in jail and learned how to fight.
Nope, not Jean Valjean. Yeah, Javert, he's in, I think, Battlestar Galactica.
I think that my reference was better than Jean Valjean.
Okay.
So, at the end of Act 2, they're getting more and more pressure to, like, regulate Hextech. Jace is elevated to a city councilor. He's, like, the new guy in charge of Hextech. And they oust Heimerdinger, which was both sad because he was sad, but then also kind of funny because he's, like, a little Ewok. So it's funny to see everyone turn against him and kick him out.
It was so sad. He's a Yordle. Jace, and by the way, Jace is, like, Heimerdinger is his mentor, so a father figure of his just gets expelled just so that Hextech and technology and discovery can succeed while they're, you know, a tiny Yordle dude is just like, this is going to kill millions of people. You guys don't care? All right. It seems like you guys don't care. Cool, cool, cool.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, dude.
So my perception of the game from the outside looking in is that it's like the Hunger Games where like every now and then they just have to have this like tournament where they all fight to the death.
No. Chad, it's more like Mortal Kombat where like the different parts of the universe have to go to war in a big war.
Okay, that's okay. Okay.
Right.
So, and but that's not what's happening in the show at all.
No. So, we assume, and by we I mean the fandom, and perhaps the audience, assumes that why is everybody going to Summoner's Rift and trying to murder each other is going to be more fleshed out in later seasons of the show.
So, once the self-contained stories of Piltover are finished, Chad, they will all go fight Shao Kahn in Outland.
Right.
I see. Also, okay. Okay. I accept.
All right. We haven't talked about Echo at all.
And then,
are you about to talk about Echo?
Well, then at the end of Act 2, Vi and Caitlin, they're fighting the bad guys and they get kind of saved / kidnapped by Echo, who's another champion, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
He's the hoverboard guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him.
He's good.
He's good.
In Act 3, it all starts coming together here. Jace kind of wants to have peace with the bad guys in the Undercity because he realizes that the rich upper city has fucked them over in a lot of ways. And a lot of the radicalization coming out of the Undercity can be attributed to the rich folks not giving a fuck or actively fucking them over. And so
that's not true.
He wants to have peace. And the other council members, some of them want to go to war. Mel's mom comes from War Town and is like, go to war.
Yeah, stop being pussies. I'm from War Town. It's Noxia. That's okay.
And he makes a deal with Silco. He's like, okay, we can have peace between our two cities, but only if you turn over Jinx so we can, I don't know, publicly execute her or something.
Right. We need a pound of flesh.
Jinx was a famous terrorist. Can we just take a second to talk about the Jinx-Silco relationship?
Sure.
Yeah, I thought they were fucking, but it turns out they're like it's a father-son thing.
It was weird, right? It was super weird.
I thought he groomed her, and then it turned out he didn't. Silco, bad guy, not a pervert. Apparently.
Right. I thought he was a pervert the entire time. And then at the end, him not being a pervert was like, okay, still a genocidal maniac.
Like, he is a genocidal maniac. But
he's just not a predator.
Yeah.
I kind of felt bad for Silco, though, because, like, he had to give up. Like, he didn't care about much. He cared about, like, his endeavor. And then he cared about Jinx. And he had to give up Jinx for his, like, life goal.
Right, well, if you take him at his word, he said he was going to turn down the peace deal.
Right.
On behalf, because he loved Jinx. He also said that to Jinx as he was dying, which, you know, you probably would say.
Right.
If you knew you were about to die. Like, go out on a high note, you know.
It's so interesting to me that he's not in the game, because he was so well developed in the show.
He can't be in the game. He's dead.
Well, now he's dead.
Well, we should also say, I glossed over this, the reason that Jace decides that he needs to have peace is because him and Vi, they meet through Caitlyn and they do like a raid on the Undercity, and Jace like immediately kills a child.
Yeah.
Yes,
in, like,
he does.
5 minutes, just murks like a 9-year-old.
Turns out Golden Boy ain't so shiny, so he needs to be able to fix that. What I will also say is I think Silco's character is a perfect representation of how good this show is. Because I don't think it is easy anymore to make a villain that is interesting. Because we've had superhero movies for 20 years now. And we've had movies for over a century where villains are aplenty. And making them new, exciting, interesting is just incredibly difficult now, because there are so many tropes that even when people aren't trying to do purposely, still kind of happen.
Right. Silco is like a Killmonger style revolutionary villain, right? He's not just doing it like gentleman to evil. Like, he actually has like a political project he's trying to do.
But here, I mean, this might be a controversial idea, but
love that.
Silco, I know what he wanted. I know what his goal was. But I don't think it was very well established, his reasoning, other than the fact that he's just, like, is where he is. And I think it's a testament to the character, to, like, how the character was written, that we look at him as an interesting, fleshed-out character, despite that. Like, I don't know, maybe you guys disagree. Yeah, I kind of felt like his motivations were a little wishy-washy.
I think I understood pretty well.
Yeah, I thought he was king of Trash Mountain, right? Like,
I knew what he wanted.
There was like a famine or something in the Undercity.
Okay.
And so they kind of rose up against Piltover to be like, hey, this is on you. Like, we're coming to get our slice of the pie. In response, Piltover just, like, purged.
Wasn't that the cold open?
Basically.
It was the cold open where Vander, the patriarch of Vi and Jinx, who, quote-unquote, dies at the end of the first act, he was on the bridge with their parent, who died on said bridge, when Piltover squashed the uprising. So ever since then, the underground has been like, how about those guys fuck themselves?
So because Jace goes to the council, he's like, it turns out it's pretty hard to enforce laws on the other city without killing children. We should have peace. And they're discussing it. They're going to have a vote on it. And then meanwhile, Vi and Caitlin and Silco all get kidnapped to go to, like, Jinx's tea party. This was a little too arch for me, when she has all the characters tied to chairs and she's like, now we're gonna have an evil tea party and we're gonna find out who really loves me.
Sure. I was fine with it. It moved us along, and it was a way to differentiate Jinx from every manic pixie anti-hero.
She's not like Harley Quinn because she doesn't have a heart of gold. She actually kills people.
No, yeah, no, she's terrible.
Well, I think she's not insane in a cute way. She's insane in a dangerous way.
The showrunners had 20 minutes left to end the season, and they needed to get everybody in one place to conclude the story. So that's what they did.
Can we talk about the... let me know if you're about to talk about it. But I want to talk about the Echo Jinx fight.
Yeah.
That was good. I, to be honest, Jinx is like so frail, like looking, and so scrawny. It's crazy every time she picks up like a 300-pound Gatling gun.
Yeah.
But all the fights in this show are amazing. And actually, yeah. I was watching some of the Ryan mentioned earlier, the cutscenes for League of Legends, whatever. Those are even better.
They're so good.
The fight scenes in this show. The fight scenes just go, but the ones that are, like, on YouTube are great.
That fight between Echo and Jinx, that was the first fight where I actually thought that somebody died. Like, one of the main characters died. I mean, neither of them did. But that one was really well done because they set it up with this, like, childhood game that they played. And then they, like, relived it, but it was, like, for keeps. And I loved the show. I don't know if you guys
can
tell.
Not to get too nerdy, Chad, but it reminded me of Obito and Kakashi, like, as they're fighting, they're, like, flashing
the
fights they had when they were friends.
I said that to my wife
during the fight. Where am I? What's happening?
Sorry.
No, it's fine. All I want to say about that scene is that the music was so, so good. In fact, the music of the entire show was... so well thought out and put together. But for a show that has animation that is unique within itself and something to behold, that scene was like a step up of another kind of awesome animation that made it a heightened version of a show that I would already count as heightened above any other animated show on TV.
Yeah, the animation, you're right, that scene in particular, they do a really good job having like really large, like aggressive motions, but having a lot of subtlety. I try to pay attention to a lot of like subtle things when I watch, especially animated shows, because unlike when like actors in animation, they can get it exactly how they want. And you can tell when animators and directors of animated media, when they care and when they know what they're doing, because you can see, like, muscle spasms at the moments that, like... I can't... This is a podcast. I would need to, like, show you a clip and, like, point at a thing to explain what I'm talking about. It's so good. It's so good. And they do it without being overly complex in their visual language.
So the show ends with the big tea party set piece, and Jinx wants Vi to kill Caitlyn to prove her love to her sister, but she won't do it. Instead, they tell her, like, oh, actually, did you know Silco's about to sell you out for this peace deal? And so Jinx kills him. And then with his dying breath, he was like, actually, I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, he retcons his own plan.
That breaks Jinx's mind even further. And then just in the Upper City, as they're voting, like, I vote to have a happy ending. Who agrees? And everyone raises their hand.
Jinx
shoots a magic rocket launcher directly at where they're having that vote. And I said this at the time. If there were no season two, if that were just the ending to this story or like this anthology, and now we're going to somewhere else... in League of Legends mythos, that would have been a brilliant ending
so
on its own.
Ballsy.
But it's also an amazing cliffhanger.
It's such a good cliffhanger. And by the way, like, Piltover is one of, I think, 14 places or regions where characters can
14?
Be from.
14?
Yeah. And Piltover is, again, like, broken into two, where it is the Upper City and the Lower City. And I would argue, from seeing all of the animatics and from the little that I know, it is not even, like, top five most interesting ones to me. Like, Bilgewater, the pirate area, is so well fleshed out. Freljord, I can't say any of these words.
Podcast of James and I making references that Ryan doesn't understand, and Ryan making references that we don't understand.
I want a Yordle show, Chad.
I mean, I want a Yordle show too. And I hadn't considered, I didn't know there were 14 other locations. I hadn't considered that that season two could take place somewhere else entirely.
Well, so I'm sure we will get a season two of Arcane, but I hope they do make a parallel show with the exact same art style in some different setting with different themes.
So you're talking cool. about the League of Legends cinematic universe.
Right. Yeah. And then, as Ryan said, like, you know, the portal to Outland opens up and
the event, they all got to combat. The Avengers come and
on your left.
I mean, I'm on board. If that's what they do, I'm on board. I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to make a season two and they're going to continue the story that they got, and maybe circumstances will bring them to new locations and we'll meet new characters.
So, but if you're listening to this show, you've just had the whole story spoiled for you. So you've probably either watched the whole thing or you don't intend to.
But God, even if so.
That's how you feel, like you don't really want to watch it, I would say give it a shot anyway. It's the best anime in years. Sorry, Japan. It's better than a lot of the anime coming even out of Japan at the same time.
And what an adaptation of a video game. You know, like, usually video game media is just garbage.
Oh, it's terrible. It's the best one that's been made ever?
It's the best one by far.
I mean, not even knowing the game, I think they nailed it.
Although I hear the Castlevania anime is pretty good, too.
I watched the beginning of the Castlevania anime. It was good. It was fine.
Okay.
Arcane's better.
It was a hard sell. Like, anytime I started telling anybody about it, and I had to start with, it is based on the world of a video game, a lot of people's minds just kind of turn off.
Mine did.
Oh, when I saw League of Legends, I was like, not for me. And then when I heard Ryan and some of the other, like, people in our HBO Boys Discord talking about it, I was like, well, I guess I better check it out then if it's that good.
Oh, we should check. You guys should check out the Discord if you're listening, because that's where we found the show and we love the show.
That's true.
But
we have a Patreon as well.
Yeah, there's a Patreon as well. If you sign up for the Patreon, I guess you get access to another channel on the Discord. I think that's... I always questioned why they called it Arcane and not League of Legends, and that's probably why. It's because they know that people who see League of Legends, oh, I've heard that, that's that game, skip that. But Arcane is a name that... I mean, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, has no bearing on the game whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know if it is, then I knew nothing about it. But yes, they were trying to give it, I believe, a general disposition because they had a lot of hurdles to get over. Number one, it's an animated show, which some people just won't watch in the first place.
On Netflix.
And number two, they have to have Netflix. And then number three, you hear that it's about a video game, and every IP you've ever seen from a video game, or at least 99% of it, has been pure trash. There's no historical evidence that that's ever going to be good, except for the fact that if you've been watching certain video games' animatics over the last 5 years, they have entire departments who only do this. So I want an Overwatch show.
Ryan, I was going to say, we all praised Arcane through the roof. We all recommend it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now I'd like to take us to a article on Screen Rant called Arcane, 10 video games that should have a Netflix show.
Yep.
And I'll go through the 10. They have a list here and you guys can say what you think, yes or no.
Okay, we're producers, okay? Chad. You and me. We're a famous producing group, the Chad and Ryan Industries. We made a lot of big hits. We made The Barney Show, Eureka's Castle, and Schindler's List. Okay?
Okay. Okay. We should be called Brady Tower, though.
God.
So this is
why you make the big bucks,
it's written by Starlene Rivera, and she writes, Arcane League of Legends debuted on Netflix to massive success.
Yeah.
It did?
It is likely other video games
will follow suit. You do that every podcast, Chad.
Creating series that even non-gamers can enjoy.
Oh, non-gamers?
So the first one, the article recommends Apex Legends.
Shit.
And I'm going to go ahead and say no.
I mean...
that should not be a show.
I don't know if any Battle Royale should be a show.
Right, every episode they kill each other to the last man.
Right, just 10 episodes of a Fortnite show where they
have to be
at Tilted Towers, every one of them, and it's about 2 minutes long.
No, I don't know. I mean, like, think about Battle Royale or Hunger Games or all these other battle, like, literal, that's the story. What you'll get, though, is the background around why those things are happening.
How many Hunger Games do we need?
Six.
All right. Well, the next one they recommend, Overwatch, yes. is a PvP shooter yes. that has a unique twist on focusing heroes with special abilities. I think yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Overwatch's cutscenes I watch as well.
Absolutely.
That would be a great show.
Oh my God.
I don't even play Overwatch, and I would like to see a show about Overwatch.
I would kill every one of my friends and family. I would look them in their eyes as their life left their body and watch their eyes close to get an Overwatch TV show. That would be so cool. Chad, you'd be first.
The
next
sense.
One they recommend, it's called Valorant, and I know this game yeah. as a Overwatch clone.
Nope.
But not as interesting
it is not,
or cool looking.
I appreciate that. As a person who really loves Overwatch, I appreciate you like weirdly internally defending it. Valorant is not an Overwatch clone. In fact, it is a Riot game alongside League of Legends, and it is more like CSGO than Overwatch. It just has abilities added on top of it, so it's basically the love child of CSGO and Overwatch.
Does it take place in the League of Legends universe?
It does not, no.
No, then thumbs down.
It's a really fun game, and we should all download it and play it together. Maybe a few games, and one of us will rage quit, throw a computer out a window, but it is good.
Can I be that one?
Yeah.
The next game they suggest should be a Netflix adaptation, The Elder Scrolls. And I, as much as I love that series, I'm going to say no, probably no, because
no,
like, what can it do that The Witcher hasn't already done?
I was just about to say, I forgot about The Witcher for the last 50 minutes. The Witcher's dope and I love it.
The thing about The Witcher is that there's a story.
Right.
Elder Scrolls, point. Like, I guess there's a story, but you can kind of do whatever you want. That's like the whole point.
And usually the main storyline of any of the Elder Scrolls games is like the weakest, and it's all like the side shit that's way better.
Right. So you can't base a game or a movie on a game where the point is you can choose what you want to do, because you're going to piss, no matter what you do, you're going to piss somebody off.
Yes. I want an Assassin's Creed movie. But I only want 3 to 4 hours of just like the main character doing side quests to become a god, so that when they do the main storyline at the end, they finish it in like a minute. If it's not that, then I don't care.
The next game they recommend, and this is a huge 2 thumbs down for me, Destiny 2, a game which I've played and beaten and has a terrible story and really bad cutscenes. With characters that you don't care about and an ugly pig man as a main villain.
Our friend G-Baby would be so mad about this. He definitely wants a Destiny 2 game. In fact, it was the first thing. There were so many people who came out of the woodwork after Arcane ended and thought of their favorite game in their head and was like, I want that to be a TV show now. Our friend G-Baby loves Destiny 2 and is like, it would be a perfect show. It wouldn't. It would suck. But
That's a cruel impression. Yeah.
Well, and that's exactly what it would be. I'm G-Baby.
You know, it's true. On Discord, he's always playing Destiny.
That's because he loves Destiny.
Yeah, constant.
He's playing God of War right now.
Next game they recommend, and I'm surprised this isn't already a thing, a Fortnite TV show.
No.
Which I'm sure that would be a huge success. No. Fucking Zoomers would go insane.
No, I don't want that.
It would be LOL so random.
I don't want that.
You know, it would be like one of those Lego TV shows, but with Fortnite characters.
I feel like everybody would be Deadpool.
I don't want that.
Yeah, it would. It would be a show starring 20 Deadpools.
Would it star Ninja and Drake? I don't want that. I don't want it. Maybe go away.
Okay. The next one, Life is Strange, and this would be a terrible TV show, but I would love to see it because it would be insanely cringe. I played all of that game. It is extremely, like, it's so, hello, fellow kids, the game,
yeah,
basically.
The Steve, the
it's
Steve
like
Buscemi
old
meme.
French people trying to write, like, American teenagers, and they're just, like, breaking out, like, she's like, wow, Chloe's a total steampunk. Go fuck yourself, E. Like, insane cringe dialogue. It would be a beautiful TV
show. I don't know this game.
Life is Strange. It is a Square Enix distributed, don't nod, like, walking sim game, choose your own adventure type game.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it while playing it, but part of what I enjoyed about it was how stupid it was.
So, I mean, I feel like there's other Square Enix games that would be better candidates.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's this game.
Get ahead of yourself.
It's called Lake, and you move back to a small town that you left many years ago, and you become that town's postal worker for a week, and the game is you just deliver the mail. That would be a rocking TV show.
Well, there's also this Firewatch where you're just alone in a fire tower in a forest looking around for fires and not seeing
it. Love that game.
Guys, what about World of Goo? That would be a great show. World of Goo?
That's gross.
You guys are familiar with World of Goo, right?
The Last of Us is literally about to be a show.
Right. The next one, God of War. I guess, whatever. I really have never been interested in that series. I haven't played any of them.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, G-Baby. Again, we're bringing up the G-Bibers. He's playing it right. A lot of people are playing it right now because it just got remastered for PC. I'm probably going to play it pretty soon because I never have and I want to.
I am not.
Okay.
And then lastly, The Legend of Zelda, which was almost going to be a Netflix show and then it got canceled. Pre-production.
It was going to be live action.
Excuse me, princess.
Yeah, it was a show. Ryan's right. It was a show in the 90s. Yeah. Excuse me, princess.
I mean, that's a contentious... Because what is a Legend of Zelda show? Is it Ocarina of Time? Is it... Like, how do you do that?
I think it would have to be... It would be like The Witcher with no dialogue, but just like beautiful, beautiful scenery.
What?
A silent film, luscious, beautiful animation version of The Witcher starring Link.
Majora's Mask is the best Legend of Zelda game. Fight me about it.
Hey, it's up there.
Wow. All right, I'll take that.
So, I mean, do you guys have any video games not on this list that should be a TV show?
Oh, man, if you gave me some time to think about it, absolutely.
Well, great. You can have some time to think about it right now while Ryan gives his answer.
If you gave me some time to think about it, absolutely.
I thought you were going to be like, Team Fight Tactics.
So, make that a show. No, well, Team Fight Tactics would just be Arcane. But, So we're covered there. So World of Warcraft got a movie, one that...
Oh my God, it did.
...was critically panned.
It was terrible. And
it was not very good. I think it could absolutely be a... You know what should be a TV show?
Oh, as an animated show? World of Warcraft could be good.
Oh, it absolutely could be. A little ditty from 2006, an MMORPG I grew up with, Dark Age of Camelot. That should be a show.
Oh, jeez. And this almost happened too. And I think that if done right, it could be really good. And that is a Metroid show. I think that if it's done right, that could be a very compelling.
Like a Metroid anime? There is a Metroid manga.
I read it. Yeah, I did read it. It's good. It's fine.
Cool.
But I think that like the world and like the whole concept of like the Chozo and the Metroids and like the war against the X-Parasites and like the political issues with the Federation. Like there's a lot going on in the background of Metroid games that you don't know about. Which I think it seems like that's what's happening with Arcane too. And that's why the show is so interesting, is because like people know these characters. And they don't necessarily know their motivations or their backstories to this degree or how they all interweave. But the same is true about Samus. All you know about Samus is she's a silent protagonist who has to destroy the Metroids and then Mother Brain because Metroids are dangerous and Mother Brain is evil and space pirates are in there for some reason. But like, you don't know what's going on in the background. Like, you don't know that the Metroid were actually supposed to be a weapon for good and the X-Parasites were evil and like the Chozo were like this tribe of pacifists and like, there's just so much going on. I think it could be good.
My answer to this question for the longest time would have just been like the Dishonored games because they're really good story and a really good setting, but that would just be like goth Arcane. So there's really no need to make it.
I was trying to think of something that wasn't like the game, because so many games now are basically movies. And I was trying to think of something that
there's a whole genre of games where you just play through like a movie. Ryan and I played a little bit of the other one. We
have to continue that. That was a very fun night.
I would love to.
Where we made every character not say anything for a period of time.
What game?
I forget the name of the one we played, but it's like a sequel to Until Dawn. It's like a horror movie where you play as the stupid teenage characters and make choices. And Ryan and I had one character who was just silent the entire time.
Yeah.
Because you can choose to say nothing. So she just said nothing every time. And this guy's like, baby, will you marry me? Say nothing. So, yeah. What's wrong? Why won't you marry me?
I have two honorable mentions here that I haven't played either of them, but one of them is a shout out for a friend, And the other one, I just feel like, based on what I know, would be good. The first one is Psychonauts. And that's Brian Martin Bowker. I feel like he would love that show.
He just contacted me to get me to make a bunch of class act videos private, which is fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We shouldn't have put our real names on those in every single one, Andrew.
We were and are comedy icons, James. Okay?
Right. Yeah. Stupid dumb people had like 10,000 views. All right. We're alien. No one knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Arcane was good. I hope season 2 comes out soon. Is it coming out soon?
Oh, yeah. How long? No, probably not.
It's animation. Also, hey, it's going to take a year and a half.
Vander is for sure Warwick. So, theory time.
Wait, is he not dead?
I don't think
Vander's not dead?
I don't believe Vander is dead, and it is strongly inferred that he was turned into a werewolf-esque character that is currently in League of Legends and called Warwick. In fact, he says things, like Vander says some things that are a little like Warwick-esque, and it's just sort of the only deep state Easter egg that was in the show that everybody picked up on immediately if they ever played League of Legends.
Oh yeah, I just Googled it and there's a ton of things that are like Vander equals Warwick confirmed.
Yeah, yeah, it's that thing.
Half-Life 2 confirmed?
No, never.
Half-Life 2 came out a decade ago.
I meant 3.
Oh shit. Gary's Mod, the TV show.
If you were that guy, though, that was like, you didn't know Half-Life 2 came out, and you're like, I've been waiting 20 years. It's like, no, man, it did come out. Oh shit! That would be the best day of your life.
These graphics are awful.
Yeah, thanks to all our patrons. If Ryan's prepared to read their names out.
I am incredibly prepared and not stalling one bit. Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Anthony Wells, Jan Twatch, my dong, Chris Wood, Brinken, Craig, John Juris, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. Go to patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for $1 or more a month. You get all of our episodes ad free and some bonus content here and there whenever we decide to make bonus content. Some housekeeping very quickly. We've been recently signed to Minute Media /Fansided. Congratulations to us. And so that's why there are post-credit ads and there's an ad in the middle. I don't think hear an ad like half the time you're listening to it on Spotify. So it's just a random weird place in the middle of the podcast where it stops for like a second and then it goes back.
Hopefully mid-sentence.
I'm going to have you do this live. I think this is best case scenario. I need you, Chad, right now to say in your Onyx Surge voice, worm tuba. Ready, go.
Is the in with that inflection?
Yeah, you're walking by Toga, who, and as you are walking into the torture laboratory to see your new mentor Judas Cradle, who is going to teach you some more torture techniques, and you know that calling me Tuba is going to make me angry, but you always call me Worm anyway, so you pass by me and call me Worm Tuba as like a little
a hello.
Yeah, as a knife in the heart hello.
Worm Tuba.
A little lower. Give me a little lower. Give me a little juice.
Worm Tuba.
Yep, that was perfect. And that line will be in Nothing Star on 2-1. So go listen to that. You just heard it live.
It's a sneak peek. Yeah. Well, it's not live.
It's live.
Hey guys, did you know that Arcane just means old?
Fuck you.